Welcome to the Tuesday, May 1st, 2012 edition of the Sands Internet Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm today recording from Augusta, Georgia. Well, let's start with some good news for Oracle users among you. You got a new patch from Oracle. The TNS listener vulnerability is now patched. This patch was missing from the critical patch update of a couple weeks ago. However, a proof of concept exploit was available. And also today, someone released actually a little video demo showing how well this proof of concept exploit works. So check out Oracle's site. The patch is available for version 10 and 11 of Oracle's database. And while we're talking about bugs mentioned before on this podcast, Rugged.com today announced that it will come out with a fix for the undocumented backdoor that is present in many of its devices. And then I'm not sure if I mentioned it yesterday, but we set up a little database that allows you to report fake tech support calls or other ways how people try to get you to install malware aside from the standard sort of web-based fake antivirus setups. We have seen it either via automated calls where essentially an automated voice just tells you to go to a URL claiming that you're infected with something, or more interactively, where a person actually calls you, asks you to go to a service like Log Me In, and then you are actually giving that person full control over your system. SMS has also been used to trick users to go to URLs. Well, if you have received a call like that, we would really appreciate if you report that to us and fill out the little form that we have set up for it. It's just isc.sans.edu/reportfakecall.html. And then a lot of talk about Google's war driving efforts. If you remember, Google's Street View cars collected Wi-Fi data. Initially, the reason for that was to improve Google's location database. In order to do that, they would have just had to collect the BSS ID and the coordinates. However, turns out that because they essentially used Kismet to do it, they ended up with payload as well, and even use some of the payload. In this final report by the FCC that looked into this particular issue, it is stated that they knowingly did so. A manager approved this particular collection method, but failed to actually get any sort of legal advice to it. So one of the lessons learned here is just because it's possible doesn't mean it's legal. Collecting wireless information, particularly payload, is illegal in most jurisdictions, even if it's not encrypted. And I see this myth a lot among techies, where it's always said, well, if it's not encrypted, it's legal to intercept. According to this assessment by the FCC, that's definitely not true. And it has been kind of quiet about skimming for the last few months. Skimming is the practice of stealing credit card information as it's physically swiped, usually by manipulating the credit card reader. In this case, in Chicago, six individuals were charged with skimming. They made a total of $200,000 among themselves. There were several Chicago restaurants that were part of this, including Wrigley's Field, the famous sports arena in Chicago, where these skimmers were used. Turns out there isn't really much you can do to defend yourself, in particular if the waiter walks away with your card and swipes it once, twice, or who knows how many times. Well, the only real thing you can do is, in hindsight, look at your bill, make sure that the charges are correct. Probably also good to keep paper receipts so you can compare the charge with what you actually thought you spent at a particular restaurant. And an interesting information leak in Skype. It turns out that you can find out the IP address of any Skype user, not necessarily one that you have an established contact relationship with. The way this works is that when Skype tries to check if you have a contact relationship with a particular user, essentially tries to send an invite, it will also connect directly to the respective Skype user's IP address. And there is now a modified version of Skype that can be used to retrieve that information. Normally, you don't really see it in your Skype logs, in your traffic patterns, because the packets are forwarded within the Skype network. However, the Skype client that tries to establish a connection actually knows the IP address of the target. Well, and that's it for today. So thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.